This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
U.S. production of oil and natural gas is booming. What's behind the resurgence?
Russia's invasion of Ukraine scrambled global markets for both oil and gas as a result of European sanctions against Russia. And so what did European nations did? They scrambled to get natural gas and they turned to the U.S.
And why the World Bank is slashing its forecast for economic growth. Plus, booksellers are divided on just how big Prince Harry's memoir will be. It's Tuesday, January 10th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. The World Bank has sharply cut its growth forecast for the global economy as high inflation persists. The bank now expects growth to slow to 1.7% this year, down from its 3% estimate in June. Our economics reporter Harriet Torrey says the major factors are inflation and monetary tightening.
Inflation has caused interest rates to go up around the world as central banks try to, cool demand and get inflation to come back down. But that has a lot of side effects. So it raises the cost of borrowing for businesses, for consumers, and it reduces investment. And then, of course, on top of all of this, we've got the disruptions from Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which has pushed up, a lot of commodity prices and caused a lot of interruptions in the supply chain and things like that. So the big concern that the World Bank has is that these factors could push the global economy into a recession. And what they're particularly highlighting in the report is that it's a very difficult situation for emerging markets and developing countries because they are facing slow growth and heavy debt burdens. And that is all being exacerbated as interest rates go up because it's making it harder for them to borrow in dollars and to finance debt.
Despite the downgrade, a 1.7% growth rate would keep the global economy out of recession territory. But the World Bank says it would also mark the third weakest pace of growth in three decades, following the downturns of 2009 and 2020. The Biden administration released a plan today to eliminate some student debt based on borrowers' income levels. Under the proposed rule, some borrowers' balances would not grow as long as they make their monthly payments. Borrowers earning less than 225% of the federal poverty line, or roughly $30,600 a year, would not have to make payments at all. The proposal is separate from the student debt cancellation plan Biden announced last year, which is frozen ahead of consideration by the Supreme Court next month. Alan Weisselberg, a longtime Trump confidant and the former CFO of the Trump Organization, has been sentenced to 5 months in jail for tax crimes. Weisselberg pleaded guilty to 15 felonies in August for participating in a scheme to compensate certain employees, including himself, with off-the-books benefits to evade taxes. He was the star witness in the trial, which resulted in the conviction of the Trump Organization. Former President Donald Trump himself was not charged in the case, which he has called politically motivated. Extreme weather events in the U.S., including Hurricane Ian, floods in Missouri and Kentucky, and tornadoes that ripped through the South last year, caused about $165 billion in damage. That's according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's National Climate Assessment. It's the third highest yearly figure since 1980. NOAA also said that disasters killed at least 474 people last year. Home goods retailer Bed Bath & Beyond is planning more cost cuts and layoffs after burning through about $300 million in cash in its latest quarter. The company warned that it was running low on cash last week. According to people familiar with the matter, Bed Bath & Beyond is in the early stages of planning for a bankruptcy filing that could come within weeks. But a Chapter 11 filing isn't certain. The company may secure financing from existing creditors that would see it through the bankruptcy process, people familiar with the situation said. And cryptocurrency exchange Coinbase is cutting about 20% of its workforce, or nearly 1,000 jobs, as part of a plan to reduce operating expenses. Coinbase is the latest crypto company to announce job cuts after the collapse of exchange FTX set off a round of layoffs industry-wide. Last week, crypto lender Genesis eliminated about a third of its staff. Coming up, what's fueling the current boom in U.S. oil and gas production? That's after the break.
This spot is brought to you by Eaton Vance, the symbol of advanced investing. What's inside your ETF? With Parametric Equity Premium Income ETF, you know. Inside, you'll find institutional expertise from a specialized team with deep derivatives experience. Get to know what's inside PAPI, the symbol of alternative income, at eatonvance.com/symbols. Before investing, prospective investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. The current prospectus contains this and other information and is available at eatonvance.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing. Not FDIC insured. Offer no bank guarantee. May lose value. Not insured by any federal government agency. Not a deposit. Investments involve risk. Principal loss is possible. Distributed by Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
U.S. oil and gas production are booming again, with domestic production of both near record levels, despite efforts to transition to green energy. The fossil fuel industry has been buoyed by a surge in global demand after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, as well as the economic recovery here in the U.S. and abroad. So, what's behind the latest boom? Will it last? And what does it mean for consumers? Joining me now with more is Wall Street Journal reporter Benoit Morin, who covers the industry. Hi, Benoit. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
So to start off, Benoit, can you tell us some more about the factors that are now fueling this resurgence in fossil fuels?
Sure. So you have a couple of things. One is the U.S. economy reopening after the pandemic. If you remember, the pandemic cut demand for natural gas and oil and gasoline, more specifically, because people were not driving. You had industrial manufacturers that make metals, coal products, paper, chemicals were not producing as many goods. And so when people started driving again and those industries started to produce again, that resulted in massive demand for those oil and gas products. So that's one element. And then you have Russia's invasion of Ukraine in early 22, which scrambled global markets for both oil and gas as a result of European sanctions against Russia and the fact that you had no more gas flowing into Europe. And so what did European nations did? They scrambled to get natural gas and they turned to the U.S. because the U.S. is able to put liquefied natural gas on vessels and have them shipped to Europe or wherever that's needed.
So one of the companies that's sort of a microcosm of what we've been seeing here is Chesapeake Energy, which just 2 years ago was in bankruptcy. And now they've made quite the turnaround. Can you tell us that story?
Sure. The company was founded in 1989 by this very charismatic CEO, Aubrey McClendon. His vision was that the company could be the largest producer of natural gas in the U.S. thanks to technologies like fracking and horizontal drilling, pumping millions of gallons of water down a well in order to create fractures in very impermeable rock as tight as a slab of marble in order to extract molecules of oil and gas, which unlocked vast troves of natural gas in regions of the U.S. that people thought did not hold as much hydrocarbons as they did. And the company went through, in the decade from 2010 to 2020, through a cycle of boom and bust, depending on where gas prices were. And now the industry as a whole, not just Chesapeake, has tightened its belt. It's not spending as much because investors want that cash back as opposed to it being plowed into the ground to extract more oil and gas. And so the company is becoming more frugal with its spending at the time of steady demand for natural gas, at least this decade, from foreign buyers. And it's betting big on the Haynesville in Louisiana, which is a massive gas field, which is positioned right next to the Gulf Coast, which is where those ships that carry the LNG, are docking.
How does this boom that we're in right now compare to previous cycles? What's similar? What's different here?
The big difference is that analysts and executives say that it's going to be a multi-cycle boom that's not going to generate as much production as previous booms. The companies are favoring cash returns to investors over producing more oil, which means that they're not going to be adding as much production, which means that this is going to keep prices elevated for the foreseeable future. And when you think about 23, some executives say that although prices have dropped early this year, they could bounce back up to $150 a barrel. So that's one thing. And then you have, on the natural gas side, demand for liquefied natural gas as a result of Russian gas not flowing into Europe. You have demand from Asia as well, which means that exporters and natural gas producers expect to be able to ship that gas for many years.
Benoit, what about the Biden administration's efforts to transition to green energy? The administration has also limited drilling on federal land. How is that impacting the fossil fuel boom, or how might it impact it?
Right. So, you know, the Biden administration came out of the gate saying that it essentially wanted to sunset the oil and gas industry, but high inflation and high gasoline prices saw President Biden call on oil and gas producers to actually pump more in order to depress those high gasoline prices. And the reasoning there was that it was asking the industry to produce more in the short term. And meanwhile, you had industry people saying, well, you know, you're sending conflicting signals. What are we supposed to be doing? We need certainty to be making those investments that eventually translate into higher production and lower gasoline prices. So you had this, you know, saga. As you said, the administration has limited drilling on federal land, but private companies can drill on private land, and they mostly do that. And they've done that in response to higher oil prices this year. 2022 was a big year for the industry.
So, Benoit, what does all of this mean for investors and consumers?
Well, that's a good question. As far as investors, they left the industry in droves, mostly out of concerns about the carbon footprint of those industries. But now that the sector is performing very well, you know, they have to ask themselves this question and whether they want to come back and invest again. So some investors have started to warm up again to that sector. As far as consumers, it's not a net positive for them because more exports of natural gas specifically means that domestic prices are higher because that creates more demand for the fuel. So although the U.S. has been producing more gas, just if you look at 2022, it doesn't mean that your electricity bills is going to be lower.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Benoit Morin. Benoit, thank you so much for joining me today.
You bet. Thank you.
And finally, Prince Harry's highly anticipated memoir, Spare, which lays bare his view of the rifts in the royal family, was released today. Spare's debut follows a major media whirlwind, including a 60 Minutes interview and a six-part Netflix special fueling social media buzz and tabloid headlines. Our publishing reporter Jeffrey Trachtenberg says chain booksellers are confident after getting stacks of pre-orders, but independent bookstores have been skittish.
Certainly Harry's book is seen as a likely blockbuster, and you want to make sure you have enough copies so that everybody who comes in can walk home with one. If you're an independent retailer, it's a little more difficult. You only have so much shelf space you can allocate for any one book, and you don't want to have to return many unsold copies. So your orders are going to be based in part on how many pre-orders your customers have placed and on what sales reps are indicating to you what they think will happen in your territory.
The Prince's book is listed at number one on Barnes & Noble's top 100 bestseller list and is number five on Amazon's top 20 most sold and read books this week. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like what you hear, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.